Hey everyone, and thanks for checking out the Rural Perspectives podcast. I'm Adam Albrecht with Ag Country Farm Credit Services, and today we're going to talk about a topic that's become important to the world of agriculture, which is crop insurance. Keith Wilson, VP of Insurance here at Ag Country, is kind enough to chat with us today. Thanks for coming on, Keith.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Adam.
To start us off, could you walk us through the basics of crop insurance? What is it? How does it work?
So it's a risk management tool that farmers use to protect their crop against natural losses. So production losses due to drought, excess moisture, insects, and then there's also a component of revenue in there as well too. So farmers, for a premium, pay for this coverage, and the coverage protects their farm on the commodities that they're growing.
Are there different types of coverage within this program?
Sure, multiple types of coverage. So there's revenue protection, there's straight yield protection, and there's also whole farm revenue protection, which has increased in popularity. For those crops that don't have a standard crop insurance program, we've heard about this more so out west in Washington, where there's the different crops out there. So those are a couple of the different varieties. There's also livestock insurance as well, too. So multiple types that are regulated by the federal government.
There are many different types of crops grown in the upper Midwest and around the country. Is there an insurance option for every crop out there?
You know, for the majority of the area in the Midwest, there is. There's, of course, those odd crops that are grown that there might not be. But there's a way to insure them if they're grown in another state. Onions, for example, aren't insurable in North Dakota, but they're insurable in another state. We can get a written agreement to get those insured in North Dakota. But for the most part, we can get the majority of our crops insured in the area that we're in.
So it really seems like a lot of these policies differ from state to state. Some policy types fit certain states and regions better than others.
True with that whole farm revenue protection, like I mentioned earlier. You know, that's basically for those crops that are different commodities and grown in different parts of the world. So our area, we can basically insure the crops that we are typically growing for 99% of our producers.
Now, different crops tend to mean different growing seasons. Are there certain deadlines that farmers should be aware of if they're interested in seeking crop insurance?
The sales closing date for our spring crops would be March 15th, which is coming up, obviously. So we're busy talking with farmers about their coverage, making sure that we have the crops that they're going to be growing this summer insured, and then also talking about any changes within the crop insurance program.
Now, Keith, if a farmer comes up to you and asks, "Why should I get crop insurance?" What do you tell them?
There's many reasons. Obviously, the crop insurance program can protect your marketing plan. A lender likes to have crop insurance so they can protect their line of credit or operating line for that farmer. I think it's a great tool to make sure that they can farm again for the next year. If they have a bad year, poor production due to Mother Nature, they're not going to have the money to be able to farm for the next year. So basically, it keeps them in the business of farming.
What would you say, and you might have already touched on it a little bit, but what would you say is the biggest benefit to having crop insurance?
I think it's just to be able to sleep at night, for that farmer to know that he'll be taken care of should there be a disaster. It's a great risk management tool for them. It also gives them, like I said earlier, the opportunity to forward contract, knowing that they have the crop insurance behind them. If the market does see an increase, they can forward contract some of those bushels, and the crop insurance will take care of them should they suffer a production loss on the backside.
Thinking a little bigger picture now, how does something like crop insurance benefit our food system in general? When you think about it, it insures the crops that are grown, which obviously consumers go out and buy. How does crop insurance fit into the food system?
So crop insurance probably fits in the way that it lowers the cost of food, because basically what's happening is we don't have those significant losses that are creating such a detriment to our farmers that there'll be less farmers, less competition out in the ag area. And therefore, it's lowering our cost of production or cost of food just due to a secure way to protect the food source, and that's the crops that we're growing.
Again, we're speaking with Keith Wilson, VP Insurance with Ag Country. Keith, what is the government's role in crop insurance? You've mentioned it a little bit, but
sure.
What is the role?
Obviously, some of the roles are the regulatory of the crop insurance companies. So currently, there's 16 crop insurance companies that are what we call, they have an SRA, Standard Reinsurance Agreement, to be able to offer crop insurance to us as agents. And so what they do is they regulate the crop insurance companies, and they also regulate the agency force. But a bigger part, as far as for the producer, they provide a subsidy for them. Now, the farmer still has to pay the premium, but it is subsidized by the crop insurance or by the RMA, which ends up being a branch of USDA, which is the government. So that's their role as far as the crop insurance program. They're also looking for other programs that will help benefit other farmers. So other commodities that don't have a very good insurance program, they're also looking for ways to benefit them or to find an insurance program that fits their commodity.
Now, that's the federal side of things. Are there private crop insurance agencies too? Is that a viable market?
There's some private products that are offered by some AIP's crop insurance companies. So they are offered some different private options. These are not subsidized, so they end up being a little bit higher in the premium. In the time that we're in, as far as from an economic standpoint, from farming financially, I think you're not going to see a lot of these private products just because they're better off looking for a subsidized product with the crop insurance that the federal government does provide. And there is also the crop hail, which isn't regulated by the federal government, and that's regulated through each state. And so each AIP or each crop insurance company files their own hail rates, and then we in turn sell those.
So it sounds like a lot of moving parts.
There is, yep, lots of moving parts, lots to keep track of.
What was the crop insurance industry like before it became a focal point in the last farm bill?
That's a good question. You know, I think it's always been a focal point. I think the 2012 drought was a big eye-opener. That was a case where, obviously, the I states had a huge drought in that area, and we did not have any other disaster programs. So the government did not give any of the other producers a disaster program. I think there was FSA loans, but for the most part, crop insurance held its own. It was very important and a great tool that was used to help make these guys whole and allow them to farm again after they suffered a drought. I think the loss ratio nationwide was 157% in 2012. So it was nice to look at that year and then in 2014 to know that crop insurance is a viable piece for these producers and very important to them.
Are you noticing more farmers utilizing a type of crop insurance?
North Dakota has a 95% participation rate. Minnesota is 88%. Wisconsin is 86%. So our farmers are using the crop insurance program. They find value in it. And us as lenders, we're looking at this as a critical piece to their operation. Like I said, financial times are a little tighter. We want to make sure these guys are able to farm again should there be a disaster.
Now, to go off that a little bit, according to the National Crop Insurance Services, there was 290 million acres of farmland federally insured in 2016, of which 60 million acres were found in Minnesota, North Dakota, and Wisconsin. So it's a pretty good chunk.
Right.
Are you expecting those numbers to increase with time as more people kind of hop on board?
I think if the program stays the way it is, sustainable, relevant for farmers, moves and changes with the farmers, the crop insurance program will be very viable for our farmers in the future. You know, pretty good percentages as far as participation numbers right now. I think there are areas that they can improve on certain things. And I think they always are looking for those ways to improve the crop insurance program to make it viable for these farmers. But, of course, that takes money. And who knows what's going to happen with the upcoming farm bill.
Again, it's another perfect segue. As of this recording, Congress is looking to pass a new farm bill. Crop insurance appears to remain as a centerpiece. Have you heard of any changes that might be made to the program?
You know, there hasn't been anything published. There's always those threats from certain senators. But for the most part, I haven't heard of any huge changes to the program itself. So we're hoping that that stays the same. And we're hoping that it's a viable program.
What type of threats have you heard to the program, and,
sure,
and if they were to actually become realistic, how would that affect the program?
So one of the threats that we've heard of is capping the subsidy. So a farmer could only get $40,000 of subsidy from the government. Basically what that works out, I'll just use North Dakota for example, that works out to be about 1,200 acres. So basically any farmer that farms greater than 1,200 acres, the subsidy would be on him to pay. So he would have an increase in his premium. What that would do is the farmer would make a decision to get out of the crop insurance program because he doesn't want to pay the full premium. And then he's managing the risk on his own. And so then, therefore, that would lower your pool in the risk pool and could create increased premium for some of those smaller farmers. And I don't think it's what the program was intended to do. I think the program is intended to protect all farmers within the pool. And so by having a subsidy cap, it just doesn't make sense as far as from a risk management standpoint. You see this in other areas of insurance. They want to insure as many people as possible. It would be the same way as with the crop insurance. So, and we've fought pretty hard every time this comes up with the subsidies, and our farmers stand with us on this.
Is there much interest within the ag community to expand the program? Obviously, financial restraints at the federal level kind of, they hurt that argument.
Right.
Is there some interest within agriculture community? Is crop insurance popular within the ag community in terms of the different farm groups and such?
I think, you know, from an overall standpoint, it is very popular. I think no one wants to do harm to the crop insurance program. No commodity groups want to do harm. I think they always are looking for better ways to make it work. But right now, it's at a point where it's pretty stable, pretty secure. We're happy with the program the way it is. I know that for the dairy program, they're looking at different ways there within the next farm bill to improve that, both on the MPP side through the FSA and also through the LGM program offered to dairy producers. So they're looking for a different way to improve that program. But overall, the crop insurance program isn't being harmed in any way by any of the commodity groups.
Is there anything else about this topic that listeners should know or be aware of when it comes to crop insurance?
I think the biggest thing is just make sure you're educated on your policy. Make sure that you're getting the right coverage, the right direction. It's so important. It's a policy that is protecting your livelihood. So as a farmer, I look at this as one of the key pieces within your operation to make sure that it's in place and secure so that, like I said, you can farm again for the next year.
Well, Keith, thanks for coming on and spending some time with us.
Great. Thank you, Adam.
That's Keith Wilson, VP Insurance with Ag Country Farm Credit Services. That's all for this episode of the Rural Perspectives Podcast, which is a production of Ag Country Farm Credit Services. To get more great content, please visit www.agcountry.com.